A little later, we're going to remember, in God's chosen special way, the means of our salvation: Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later. We're going to remember by taking the bread and the wine, the symbols of Jesus' body broken and his blood shed for us. But I want us to spend a few moments before that in looking at Jesus himself in the last hours before his sacrifice. And can we start at the meal, which has come to be known as the Last Supper, where Jesus and his disciples celebrate the Passover together. And we find this recorded in Luke's Gospel. Well, that's the one I want to read. In Luke's Gospel, and it's in chapter 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And I'd like us to start at verse 7 of chapter 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. Jesus replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. For the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go, as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Jesus' disciples see the Passover meal as a remembrance of when God freed their people, Israel, from slavery in Egypt. Jesus is here giving them and us the way God wants us to remember how he brought freedom from slavery to sin. Jesus knows where he is going. He knows what is going to happen to him. He's completely clear about what will happen to him in the next few hours. In chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus says, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Oh yes, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen there in Jerusalem. His disciples didn't understand what he had said to them, that he would have to suffer. They didn't understand. But Jesus, the Son of God, knew exactly what he would have to go through and why. In the passage we read just now, Jesus says that the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. Jesus knows that he has to go the way that has been decreed, the way that's been decided, the only way that can bring salvation to man. He knows that Scripture has to be and will be fulfilled in his suffering on the cross and in his resurrection. Jesus knows what is coming. Having said that, let's look at Jesus. There's so much we could say, obviously, about Jesus. So many aspects of this that we could look at. But I'd like to just look at a couple of aspects as what is written about him is reaching its fulfillment. If you or I knew that we were going to go through tough times, even pain, even death, I think we would probably be very preoccupied with these thoughts, with those thoughts. What was going to happen to us? What pain we would have to bear? How we would cope? How we'd be able to go through the pain and the suffering? If we knew we were going to have to suffer in some way, I guess, in fact, I know, from my point of view, I would feel this way. My thoughts would be very much on me. As Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane in chapter 22, as he goes on trial before Pilate and Herod, as he is mocked and scourged, as he is crucified in chapter 23, we see Jesus showing compassion. Jesus is compassionate, even at a time when there were other things to weigh heavily on his heart. Jesus is the Son of God. God is love. His heart of love and compassion does not change, even as he approaches his darkest hour. We see four examples of this. We find him in verse 47 of chapter 22, verse 47 of chapter 22, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Men have come with swords and clubs to seize him. Jesus' disciples think that they should put up a fight to defend him, and one of them strikes off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. Jesus, however, brings peace to the situation. The only person to be hurt in the next few hours is going to be him. And he touched the man's ear and healed him, we read in verse 51. Jesus shows mercy and compassion even at this hour, even to those intending to destroy him. The next morning, Jesus is tried, falsely convicted. He is to be crucified. He carries his cross up to where he will be crucified. In chapter 23, verse 27, we read of many people following him. Chapter 23, verse 27. These people include women mourning and wailing for him. But at this time, when Jesus had already gone through flogging, and every step along the way must have been tortuous, his mind was not on his own suffering, but on their coming suffering. Verse 28 reads, Jesus turned and he said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and your children." Why? Because by rejecting the Son of God, they would have no future to enjoy. Jesus had wept over Jerusalem earlier in chapter 19 because they did not recognize the time of God's coming. Jesus is here showing that same love and compassion for these people who are caught up in his destruction. He feels for them. We move on. Let's move on and see that even on the cross, as he hangs there, suffering intense pain, naked and dying, going through all that Satan can throw at him, even there on the cross, he is compassionate towards those around him. Chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The soldiers have physically put him on the cross. People around him are mocking him, even sneering at him, in some grotesque way, enjoying the spectacle. But Jesus' cry for God the Father's pardon reaches out to all who have played a part in some way in his crucifixion, and by our sins that he suffered for, we have taken part in his crucifixion. Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." What amazing mercy, amazing grace, amazing compassion and love for the people who are, it seems, destroying him. His mercy, grace, compassion and love reaches out. They reach out to all he has made. That includes each one of us. You remember that on the cross next to that of Jesus hangs a convicted criminal, deservedly being punished for his wrongdoing. He sees Jesus suffering on the cross, despite having done no wrong. He recognizes who Jesus is, the Son of God and King of the Jews, even at this late stage in his life. We read in verse 42, Jesus, the criminal cries, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus has compassion on this criminal close to death, no matter what crimes he has committed. When he asks Jesus for mercy, Jesus grants him forgiveness. This is why Jesus is suffering on the cross. He is bearing suffering to bring forgiveness of sins to all who call on him. The criminal on the other side of Jesus is urging him to save himself and them. He misses the point. Jesus does not save himself so that he can save others. Throughout his life, Jesus was compassionate in loving, in healing, forgiving those around him. Just the same now, on his way to the cross, even while on the cross, Jesus is the compassionate Saviour. The other aspect I'd like us to see that he is we see Jesus confident in the rightness and the eventual victory of the plan of salvation. Like a train on its tracks, Jesus moves unswervingly towards the cross because he knows this is the only way, this is God's way. There is no other way of salvation. We see this on various occasions as Jesus' crucifixion draws near. We see as he takes the Passover meal we read earlier with his disciples that Jesus is confident that he will come through the suffering and he will enter into his kingdom. In verses 16 and 18 of what we read that Jesus will not eat the bread nor drink of the fruit of the vine until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God, until the kingdom of God comes. As Jesus prays in Gethsemane, in verse 42, he says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." He sees the enormity of what is to come, but he trusts in God the Father. He is confident that he will come through his suffering and enter his kingdom. We read that God sent an angel to assure him of God's presence with him and to encourage him as he goes through this suffering. When the chief priests and teachers of the law questioned him in the trial, they asked Jesus if he is the Christ, the Saviour, the Son of God. He says to them in verse 69, "From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." No matter what he has to undergo in the next few hours, Jesus is confident that this is the way that he will enter his kingdom. Through the cross and in his resurrection from the dead, he will be enthroned in his kingdom. He is certain of this. We've already seen Jesus' words to the criminal dying on the cross next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Again, Jesus shows his confidence of what is to come. "You will be with me in paradise." These are the words of the Son of God, in control, even as he approaches death, knowing that his suffering is nearly over and his kingdom will soon begin. But look also at his final words, the final words which Luke records here, verse 46 of chapter 23. You'll remember, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He cried with a loud voice, showing he was convinced, he was certain that his fate was secure and safe. His suffering and sacrifice will be vindicated. He is confident that he will be victorious. Death will be defeated. Satan will be crushed. Jesus' kingdom will begin. We started off by reading in chapter 18 that Jesus said to his disciples, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." He knew that after his suffering on the cross, he would be raised to life. He trusted God the Father and was confident that this would happen as the scriptures foretold. And on that first Easter day, Jesus' resurrection was comprehensive proof that this confidence in God the Father had not been misplaced. After suffering on the cross, after letting Satan do his worst, Jesus rose again, defeating death and Satan. After bearing the punishment for sin in his body, the punishment we deserved, Jesus won a victory which brings forgiveness and freedom from the guilt of sin. Confidence vindicated. So I've looked only very briefly at the events as Jesus goes to the cross. We've seen that rather than dwelling on his own sufferings to come, our compassionate Saviour continues to be just that. His heart of love and mercy cannot stop showing compassion to those caught up in events around him. Jesus knows he is the Son of God. He knows that salvation can only come if he, the sinless one, suffers and dies for the sins of man. He knows what is going to happen in Jerusalem, but he is also confident that he will have the victory. God the Son trusts God the Father, and Jesus will be raised to life to begin his kingdom. He will be king. The sign on the cross said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." But he wasn't the king that the Jews were expecting. He is to be king of a heavenly kingdom. Jesus is the Saviour, the Lord and King of the kingdom of God, because he died, he rose, and he will come again. We focused on Jesus because what he did in those 3 days has a miraculous and life-changing impact on each of our lives. I trust that each of you knows something of that in your lives. Let me just close this section by reading some words from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, as we move towards the table, celebrating by taking bread and wine. Let's just read from Psalm 103, starting at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for the record of events that we can read, where we can see our Lord Jesus as he approached that time when he would have to go to the cross, he would have to go through to torturous suffering. We thank you that even on the way to the cross, and even on the cross, he was compassionate to those around him. Father, we thank you that we can know something of your compassion. We thank you because Jesus went to the cross and died and rose again. We can know your compassion upon us. We thank you that we know your grace and mercy, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, but you want us to be sons and daughters of the living God. We thank you for our Lord Jesus, who he is, for what he's done. We thank you that we can know you through him. Father, as we meet around your table in a moment's time, may we pause and think on these things. May we commune with you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.